WRCT Pittsburgh. It's more fun when it doesn't make any sense.
My friend Teddy almost set his house on fire. He used a counterfeit, you know, a fake wall charger. He had to go to the hospital.
My BFF Chloe was riding her bike and hit a ditch. Her helmet broken too. Now, she has a brain injury.
There is a cost to buying cheap. Do you want to pay the price?
Real products are tested for safety.
Go for real.
Visit ncpc.org/goforreal. Brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the United States Patent and Trademark Office.
Thank you. You gon' act like a lady today. Girl, that's how we do it for me. Where you from? Two man round the corner from Craig. People like to party, play cards all day.
The one and only CIC, that's right, girl. You nigga better get ready.
We'll be right back. Sunday Second Line in New Orleans, about that time of the year, y'all. What I wanted to get into was a kind of an explanation from some of our experts about what is bug dancing. That's the dancing they do down there in New Orleans and in different places in the world. And what's the second line all about? So we're going to look it up, and you'll hear about it in just a few shakes. All right, here we go. As we look up the meaning of bug dancing is a folk dance that originated among African Americans during the era of slavery. So it was largely associated with North Carolina Piedmont and later with the blues. The original bug dance, or buck and wing, referred to a specific step performed by solo dancers, usually men. And today it means like a broad variety of improvisational dance steps. So in contemporary language, bug dancing often referred to a variety of solo step dancing to fiddle-based music done by dancers primarily in the Southern Appalachians. It says primary. Now, among North Carolinians, bug dancing is differentiated from clogging and flatfooting by the use of steps higher off the floor, a straight and relatively immobile torso, and emphasis on steps that put the dancer on his or her toes rather than on their heels. So I'm not getting it. I am not getting this. All right, so we gotta dig a little bit deeper here. So hold on a second. Hey, Bill, what's up, man?
Hey, everybody. My name is Bill Summers, and we're in New Orleans, Louisiana, and today we're gonna talk about second line. That's right, the second line. And if you were born and raised in Louisiana, or if you're just a visitor, or if you spent many days here, you have to know second line. You've heard it, you've seen it, and you've experienced it. And what we're going to do is we're going to dissect the second line. And when we talk about dissecting, that means we're going to look at every aspect every part of what makes the second line what it is. It's music, it's dance, it's song, and it's a celebration of life. And when we're talking about second line, we have to talk about Africa. Africa. The second line dates back thousands of years before there was a Louisiana, before the Mayflower even. It goes back to West and Central Africa. And the history of instruments and dance and culture, art in Africa, has found itself in Congo Square in the early days of rag and jazz. Let's dissect the second line.
So to start things off, we take a look at the components of the brass band, or as it's known in some parts of New Orleans, the second line band.
I'll give my definition of it, and this is one of the definitions. It's a collaboration between a celebration of dance and music. It manifests itself through certain social events in New Orleans. One with benevolent societies, with funerals, and celebration. What was happening in New Orleans in the early to middle 1800s? You know, you had free people of color, you had enslaved people, you had, this was a port of embarkation, it was a large port, it was the second largest port in the country, it was the largest city in the South, and it was also a city of vice and good gaming and fun. And so when you put all of those things together, and there was a big movement with musicians who were educated, as well as people who just had the innate ability to perform. And when you put into that pot the music that people learned in an educational setting, like we had a symphonic society here of 100 artists, over 100 musicians, 1840, the first society of its kind in America. This was the focal point for opera in the country. The Opera House, the first one was here. So when you look at that and you mix that with the church, with work songs, field songs, what happened in Congo Square, very significant. This was a port of embarkation for the military. You have all of these, especially African Americans, who had access to horns and instruments. And you begin to play these marches. And these marches, they decide they wanted to rag the melody. They didn't want to just play those melodies straight up and down like they were written or like they were doing in a Eurocentric type setting. We had these benevolent societies. You put that in the mix. And these benevolent societies were all early insurance companies. And they had certain days they celebrated, as they celebrated life. And especially when somebody passed, somebody notable in the community, they would play these mournful songs coming from the houses, going to the church, or going from the church to the graveyard. And these dirges were hymns, nothing but hymns, very slow and mournful. And then at a certain point, when they go through this ritual of cutting the body loose, where the bereaved family would go through the middle of the band, and then go into bury the dead, the community would go off to the other way, and they would go celebrate this life after death. And so that's when you heard this the music that we call Second Line kind of developed out of, or that's what it developed out of.
Different movements that are precise, yeah, and different dances for different songs, as you will see. So one of the premier dance men in all of New Orleans, we call him Squirt Man. What's happening? How you doing?
Hey, buddy. How you doing? My pleasure to be here, first of all.
So how long you been dancing?
Well, first of all, brother, I give all my beats to God for making every opportunity and every moment available.
Yes, indeed.
And I've been dancing since 71, coming up on 150. I was introduced to Second Line and Social Pleasure Club. But my first encounter with a jazz band was at a jazz funeral with my mother.
Really?
And to me, Second Line, when my age, when I came up in our time, Second Line was, it was a spirit movement.
That's right.
It was a movement. See what I'm saying? It was a movement in our life, in our time. Not just civil rights time. That's all we had.
That's right.
It was that spirit movement, and that's what I still go off today. Mm-hmm. Because when a man blew an instrument, he coming from his inside.
That's
see what
right.
I'm saying? So when he go to my ear, I listen to that. So his spirit coming to my spirit. This is a movement thing, where it's expressed, you know, verbally or through your body. It's a movement thing. And I got the thing I call the spirit roll. You know, a parade go 4 hours, second line. So that when I get tired, the spirit roll kicks in.
I've seen you roll for the whole 4 hours.
You know what I'm saying? So that's spirit roll, that development in it. Most, like, from kids, you know, when we come up, that's part of your develop, grow, and mature. You know, I play sports coming up. Just like we was taught, you know, baseball, basketball, and track and all, we was taught second line. We had to think second line season.
Yes, indeed.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The parade come through the neighborhood, no matter what you was doing, the band draw you.
You had to go.
It was that movement. It was part of our peace and our strength.
That's right.
It was part of your speech and your strength. So to me, second line is self-creativity. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying? You can take the snare drum, the bass drum, the tuba, the trombone, the sax, the clarinet. You can dance off individual, or you can dance off as a collective group.
Assemble the entire unit. It is time to hit the streets. Let's roll.
Turn around, touch the ground, girl, you better believe me. It's working on your head, girl, I know you lie. You need the light bill paid. Today on the bench, we have Mr.
Second Line J.
Second Line J, also known as Mr. Jerron
Cozy.
Cozy. How you doing today, baby?
I'm doing fine.
You're looking good.
Thank you.
It's a different seeing you on a Saturday.
Yeah.
It's usually these Second Line Sundays, I see you tearing the street up.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? I definitely want to elaborate on your introduction into the Second Line world. Mm-hmm. You got some immaculate footwork.
Yes.
And it's noticed around the world. Everybody love it.
Thank you.
They always ask, it's definitely in your DNA.
It is.
You can't deny it. Mm-hmm. And I want you to talk about what was your introduction into the Second Line world?
So when I was about, like, I'm going to say eight or nine, one of them, probably younger than that.
Uh-huh.
I started Second Line when I was five, and I do want to talk about that. When I was at a wedding.
Okay.
The people that know, you know, when I was at a wedding when I was about, like, five, it was this brass band just came in, and I just started dancing, and people just started, they threw buku dollars at me. They was giving me money. They was like, yeah, yellow dude, roll. And I was like, I was just dancing. You know, I didn't know what I was doing, but, like, you know, I was.
So you basically was moving to the beat.
Right, I was moving to the beat. So
and the beat moved you in a way that it was appealing to everybody that was at the wedding.
Right. So when I got, so every then, even if like if I'm at a party or a wedding, some my Second Line. So for my dad, Fifth Wall Weaver.
Your dad, Mr. Fifth Wall Weaver, the legend of New Orleans Bounce.
Yeah.
So let me introduce that to the world. Mm-hmm. His dad is Mr. Fifth Wall Weeby. If you're from New Orleans, matter of fact, everybody from New Orleans, uptown, downtown, West Bank, Ninth Ward, know of Mr. Fifth Wall Weeby. This is Mr. Fifth Wall Weeby's son. So when you see him on my TikTok page, on my Instagram page, there's an insight on where he get this entertainment vibe from. Mm-hmm. It's directly from his dad. So at this wedding, you just put on this a free show.
I just danced to the music.
Like, and that was when you was 5 years old?
I was 5 years old. I remember like it was today.
And how old are you right now?
I am 14 years old.
Okay. All right. So it's basically this type of that New Orleans culture came through your mom and your dad. Mm-hmm. That's what's up. Let's talk about so you are in several clubs in the Second Line world.
Yeah.
Can you name?
Nine Times and Prince of Wales and others that I'm about to get in.
So you plan on being in the culture for a long period of time.
Yes.
So you're like I look at you as being like Second Line family. I see you out there every Sunday.
Yeah.
You
I think of myself as like the Prince of Second Line, because, you know, we got Scubble.
Uh-huh.
Scubble be cutting up the King of Second Line.
So you consider Scubble as the King of Second
Line.
He's
the King.
Okay. Yeah. What about Second Line Shorty?
Second Line Shorty. I love Second Line Shorty.
Uh-huh.
My dad been showing me videos of her since I was young.
Okay.
I was like, she could Second Line. Then that's when I seen her one day. When I was young, I seen her walking somewhere, and my dad was like, that she go right there. And I was like, oh, my God.
Uh-huh.
So every time I see Second Line Shorty, I really be, like, happy. Because, like, I don't know. It's just, like, she carries that spirit of her. Like, you know, every time somebody see her, oh, that's Second Line Shorty.
Yeah.
Like, you know, she has a good name on her. So she's very inspiring, literally.
Okay. And let's get this out the way. So what part of the city are you from?
I am from the Fifth Wall.
Downtown, baby.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
Yep.
So all this footwork is from a guy that's from downtown.
Yes.
Can you believe that? That's what's up. I enjoy watching you dance. I enjoy watching you enjoy yourself at these second lines. Mm-hmm. I look at you as being the next generation. And you carry yourself real well out there. It's always run for growth, mm-hmm. and we're still learning. Mm-hmm. But I really do admire the way that you roll out there. Mm-hmm. You got your own lane.
I do. Because I do want to talk about it. When I second line, I mix ballet, contemporary, African, all together, and I just put it in second line.
Okay.
So, like, you know, when you see me do my high kick, my split, it's just, that's just part of it. That's just, I mix it all together. You know, I just, you know.
So, let me ask you this. Where do you get all these different, what's the proper name? What's like a genre of dances? Like, how you, do you have any background into,
Every summer. I go to California.
Every summer you go to California?
Every summer I go to California to dance with Debbie Allen.
Okay.
And, you know, it's a summer intensive. We live, we stay in USC dorms for a month.
For a month out the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And how long you been doing that?
I've been doing that for about like 2 years.
Okay. You enjoy it?
I love it.
So you learn more every time.
Yes. It's like, it's really worth it. Like, even though she'll have you sitting in a split, if you see me doing a good split like that, trust me, it's hard. I had to stay in a split for about like 30 minutes, and she don't play. You better stay down there.
So Debbie Allen is actually teaching this?
She don't teach.
Uh-huh.
But, okay, I'm going to just say it like this. She teaches when she wants to.
Okay.
So if, like, she's busy in, like, you know, downtown LA, she like, you know, doing something with celebrities and something like that.
Okay.
She'll have, you know, her teachers that she, you know, got to come teach us our, you know, lessons and stuff like that.
Okay.
But when it comes up to like musical theater, she'll come in and teach us, you know, tell us, you know, like when she comes in, we'll be excited to see her. We'll take pictures with her and then she'll teach us for like the rest of the month.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That opportunity. Look, take advantage of that. I'm in awe.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you retain a lot of that dancing? Like, what you doing at the second lines?
Yes, I don't know. It's like it runs in my blood.
It's in your blood.
I ain't gonna lie. Like, I know what to do. I don't do the same thing over and over again.
Correct.
I know how to switch up my moves, and if I do the same thing, at least I switch it up in different orders. So it looked like, you know, like, yeah. So nobody never expect me to do nothing. I do everything new, you know?
Yeah, look, from my point of view, the camera only go toward action.
Mm-hmm.
Like if somebody just walking, I mean, I'm not going to record that.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, it always wind up on you.
Mm-hmm.
The way you move, you draw that attention.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the most famous video in my eyes is the one I did at Tremaine Sidewalk Steppers.
Yes.
The split. Now, this was like one of the most crowded second lines of the season. Can you recall how many people was out there? I mean, Broad Street was just, it was a sea of people.
When I was second lining, I ain't gonna lie, they had people bumping into me.
Yeah.
But when you dance at a second line, people will automatically get out your way.
Correct.
Because, you know, when you dance, when you second line, your hands go, like your feet, it's like they don't want to be, you know, they don't want to get kicked, so they move out the way. But when I did my split, I made sure they had nobody, and like, you know, they came in parts.
Jay, unless you got eyes behind your head, Jay.
I'm smart. Trust me.
Jay, hold up. I saw it directly, and I'm recording, dude. And we was not like at a jazz funeral pace.
Mm-hmm.
We was walking fast.
Mm-hmm.
And just as hard as you to keep up, it was hard for me to walk backwards and stay focused on you. Dude, you did a split.
And got back up with no hands. Sometimes I don't know how I do it. But like, for real, like, that music really got some type of spirit or something. Ain't no way I just did a spit and came back up, and I never did it in my life.
So you never did that before?
I never did that before.
I'm glad I was able to capture that, because nobody would not be able to believe that. Come on, we can go on and on. I'm walking, same parade. I'm walking, and I look on top of the bus, and who do I see? Mr. J on top of the bus at Treme Sidewalk Stepper Parade. And when I say rolling, dude, you was rolling, bro.
Yeah.
How that feel?
I just feel like when you on top of the world, you got to cut up.
You got to cut up.
Like, I was on top of the bus in front of, like, a million people. I can't just sit there and just look. You know, I can't just do no little stuff. I got to cut up. I got to make my name known. I can't just, you know, I know when that once I got on that bus, I knew what to do.
Yeah.
Cut up.
And that's just what you did.
Dude, it don't matter if you break a leg.
So the contrast for your first second line, can you recall your first second line as being on the sidewalk?
My first second line was my dad's funeral.
That was your dad jazz funeral?
My dad's jazz funeral.
Okay.
And I'm going to explain it. When I was there, I didn't know what was going on.
Okay.
Like, it was, like, I was way in the back.
Because,
you know, I ain't know it to be. Now I know it to be, you know, in front of the band. But I was way in the back, crowded. Everybody was trying to touch me. They had people. You know, I had some of the bodyguards out there. I had to get them people off me because they was touching me. It was just too much. So they had people that was blocking the people. And I was just second lining. And then that's when I got on top of my daddy's casket.
I didn't know that. So, man, you did one of them downtown moves.
They put me on top of the casket.
Did you second line on top of the casket?
I second line on top. But I do want to talk about it. So, when I was, you know, I was young. So now I know somebody knocked on the casket.
So, wait. How old were you when
11 years old.
Okay.
So, when somebody knocked on the casket, I thought it was my daddy.
What?
Man, I told them people get me out that casket, and they sure did.
They said, come here, and they got me, too.
That's understandable.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Yeah.
So, at your dad's jazz funeral, you really got that beat, and that's when you, like, you really noticed that I got footwork.
Yes, but that day I was really sad.
You were sad. At the same time, you know, it's a New Orleans jazz funeral.
Yeah.
We were sad at the beginning and at the end. It's kind of like a celebration of life. The brass band come out there. We, you know, just to see you dance, that's like a way of saying that, you know, like you not moving on, but.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it happened so fast.
Yeah.
Like, if all y'all know, that Friday I did that Get the Gap video that went viral.
Okay.
I did that Get the Gap video with my dad.
Okay.
And then, like, literally the next day, he went in the hospital. Then Sunday, it's like everybody come in the hospital. We all crying. Days later, he died. Like,
wow.
It just happened like this. And I was so young, so, you know, everything was fast. Like, but I couldn't just. And then when I just seen my dad, it hit me when the second line started playing. And I was pushing my daddy. Like, they had this little roller thing, and I was holding my hand on the casket, and I was just crying, because I'm like, man, like, he ran in a casket.
Yeah.
But the funny part is, when I was in that funeral, you know when people die in the casket, they have nets all over them. So I'm in the front seat right by my dad. My dad right here, I'm right here.
Okay.
So they got nets flying on my daddy. Man, I got the flyer, you know, where all the pics are. Man, get off my
You're
dad.
Not having
like,
that.
No.
You're not having that.
No, but it was just sad to, like, feel my, when I felt him in the cast, he was so hard.
Yeah.
It was just sad, but I'm strong now.
Yeah.
I do think my dad's spirit is in me, because I don't cry.
I think, this is the way I look at a lot of things. I think, you know, when a loved one pass on, you receive blessings from other areas. Not I always think it's that person looking down on you. And you definitely got to recognize the blessing when it do come. You are definitely blessed, no doubt.
I always, even when I'm at the second line, the same smell I smell from the hospital, I smell it like.
For real?
Sometimes when I'm at the second line, when I was young, when I was riding my bike, I smelled the same smell I smelled from the hospital when he was dead. Like, so when we viewed his body, I smelled that same smell.
Wow.
Like, when I was riding that bike. But I never seen him. I'm scared to see him.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know, that smell just, yeah, it'd be weird. Like, and by me being older, if I smell that,
it kind of like brings you back.
Man.
Like, yeah.
And I remember when I was at last year, Sidewalk Steppers.
Uh-huh.
It's like I heard my daddy saying, cut up. Man, I cut what? Up so bad.
So last year from Sidewalk Stepper Parade, you actually cut up.
Mm-hmm.
But was it the same when you cut up this year?
No. I think as I grow,
uh-huh,
and even people even say that, like, you getting bigger. Like, I do, like, as I grow, uh-huh, I learn more things. Like,
okay.
I say, like, you know, like, I even, when I be at home, I put on that TV, I look up YouTube,
uh-huh,
Big Six, The True Autumn.
Yeah.
Man, I cut up in my
So you practice at home?
I don't understand how I practice.
Uh-huh.
But say if, like, they don't have a second line Sunday, I'm bored.
Yeah.
I just second line. Sometimes, if I want to practice, okay, put it like this. If I want to learn a move, I see everybody doing. Like, you know how everybody do the little two-step when they walk down the street?
Uh-huh.
I tell myself how to do that. Because okay. I was like, ain't no way how they do that. So I tell myself how to do it, and I just do it. But some stuff come from here.
Yeah.
From, you know.
And it's your stuff. Foundation, too. I mean, right. Look, how many people on the streets went to Debbie Allen school. You know, you got to commend your mom for sending you, yeah, to get that foundation.
Yeah, and it's very expensive. It's $3,000.
That's real,
yes,
big.
But it's worth it.
Yes. Yeah, oh, come on, dude. Very worth it. Yes. We see it through you.
Yes.
So your dad's second line basically opened you up to the second line community.
Yes. My dad, how to put it? He didn't want me going. I never been to second line, by the way.
I could, because my kids.
Right.
Unless I'm out there, I could understand that.
I've been second line, but I never been to second line. I think that's weird, too. Like, how I know how to second line, but never been to one?
It's just in you. And you, it takes that beat to get it out of you.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. It's in your DNA. It could be like one of your ancestors.
Right.
Like, you probably read your tree. You probably had a dancer way down the line. It's definitely in your blood. If you could look who your daddy was.
And everybody know my dad used to be a dancer back in the day too. So.
But when I saw you, I didn't know that. I did not know that you was Fifth Ward Weeby's son.
Some people don't know that.
I disappeared off the scene for a while. So when I came back, like I say, my camera follows the action. And for some reason, it just kept going towards you. And somebody said, that's Fifth Ward Weaver, son. I'm like, no, can't be.
And listen, the thing is, I don't really worry about, I mean, okay, the people that know I'm his son, okay.
Uh-huh.
But I don't just go everywhere and, you know, I'm Fifth Ward Weaver, son.
You don't.
That's why I changed my name to Second Line J, Five. I put five in there,
uh-huh,
because I always got to represent them. I ain't going to lie. I do got to represent my dad.
That's where the five come from.
But I don't just say, you know, like, I don't just use my daddy name for everything I do. I want to put my name out there.
You want your own brand.
You know, like,
yeah.
I love my daddy.
Uh-huh. I'm
going to always, you know, represent him.
Yeah.
But it's my time.
You're correct. You're right.
You know, and I want to not just put his name out there, put my name out there. I want to be somebody. I don't want to breathe, you know, under my dad's skin for too long.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, I'm getting older. I mean, he died.
Yeah.
And I had to accept that for a long time. People had to tell me, you know, like, don't cry over it. I mean, he gone. Ain't nothing you could do.
Uh-huh.
So when they told me that, I ain't cried since. I don't cry for, like, I could talk about my dad all day and won't cry.
Okay.
My family would, but uh-huh, I just be sitting there like, and even when I try to cry to like get it out,
uh-huh,
it's like my dad like, boy, don't you dare cry.
Like, look, that's what dads do,
man.
That's what we do.
Yeah,
that's what's up. So, other than your dad's jazz funeral, can you recall your first second line on the street?
Sidewalk Steppers.
Yeah, so that was Sidewalk. It was. It's always a Sidewalk Stepper
Sidewalk
parade.
Sidewalk Steppers. Miss Kim let me in a rope.
Okay.
She had me with her hat on.
So that's Kim Charbonnet?
Yeah, Kim Charbonnet.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what happened once you got in that rope?
I was just cutting up. I had on my little, you know, my little Nike. I've been fresh. Had on my little Nike.
I like that.
Had on my little Nike shirt. The yellow thing, you know, with the yellow rose ones. Been fresh. Been fresh. That's why every time I go to the second line, I make sure, even when I'm going to go out the basic,
I gotta
look like something. You
yeah,
know?
I get that to you. You always fresh. You tan the Nikes up.
And I gotta smell good. When y'all see me carry my little black bag, I got deodorant up, samples of cologne, money, and my phone, and my towel.
So, what's your favorite fragrance of right now?
Chanel and Jimmy Choo.
That's what's up. I got both of them.
Yeah.
That's what's up. Yeah. I like that. Ain't nothing wrong with smelling good, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, it make you feel good.
It do.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you second line, you sweat.
Yeah.
That's why I can't.
So let me ask you this, bro. So would you rather, I mean, because I catch you by the band and I catch you on that sidewalk. Would you rather being close to the band, or do you like that sidewalk when you just.
My sidewalk people, I love y'all. No disrespect, I love y'all. Y'all know I will forever represent y'all on that sidewalk. Y'all be getting it. But that band, that bass drum, and that cowbell, oh my God.
That's
that
a different feel.
That cowbell,
right in your ear.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah.
For real, like the cowbell really gets my feet going. Like, and when people, you know, see me dancing, they see me doing cowbell sounds with my voice. Like, I'd be like, dum, 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 dum.
Okay.
And they always see me snapping. Because like, I got to catch that beat. It's always this.
All right.
Like, it's always that. You can't miss a beat without.
Well, Jay, I mean, look. I'm sitting up here witnessing this. I mean, you could be a teacher. You could teach the world how to second
line.
That's
what I plan on doing. And when I had posted that I want to do that, I was saying I want to do that when I grow up. But people were saying I could do that now.
You could.
And that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, you could.
Because people been asking me, it was like, how you do this? Can you teach me how to second line? I'm like, yeah. But like, I just don't be too. But now I got to really be serious on that.
Yeah.
I see a lot of people doing, so I want to do it.
It's a lot of potential.
Yeah.
It's a lot of potential. We definitely go talk about this after the interview.
Mm-hmm.
But you got, dude, you got the world in your hands right now. It's so much that you can do with this talent that you have.
Look, all this talent, when it's time to go home after that second line, boy, the crap in both of my legs, it mainly be a pill. It don't be nowhere there. It be my feet, too.
Uh-huh.
When I take off my shoes, my feet be good. My
it's your joints.
Be cramping up.
Uh-huh.
Y'all don't know the pain. All that talent I do, yeah, it's nice. But when it's time to go home, yeah, I'm in pain.
Yeah, because you go so hard.
I got to.
Yeah, you go so hard, bro. Every week, I see you. And you always at 10. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you at 15.
I gotta have positive energy. If you don't have positive energy, then you just have no energy at all, and people will not like you. So even if, like, you know, somebody tell me some stuff I don't want to hear,
you just start dancing. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
And walk away while I'm
second
line away, huh?
Yeah. I like that. I like your energy while you're out there. You kind of like, you humble. You don't bother nobody.
I know.
You just out there dancing.
Right.
And it definitely got my attention. And when I post your videos, bro, they just go viral.
Yeah.
So the whole world, they want to know, who is Jay?
Right.
Who's this kid?
And notice how they don't say fifth wall. I mean, some people, you know, all the people in the comments, they know.
The local people.
Right, the local
people
know.
Yeah.
But outside people, they be like, man, that man cunt.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not just my dad. It's me. It's how I carry myself.
I'm glad you said that, and I'm glad that you do not. It's nothing wrong.
Nothing wrong with doing that, but I just don't do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because your dad got his own legacy.
Right.
And like my dad had his own legacy, you know what I'm saying? And at some point, you're going to have to kind of like just mold your own legacy. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're doing. Now, if you was rapping, that'll be different. So hold up. So you telling me that you rap too?
I can rap.
Oh,
I can
rap. Yes, indeed. That's what's up.
I can rap, but I don't do it.
You don't do it?
I like, you know, if me and my mom in a car, like for that song, Get Out the Way. I made that song. In a car with my dad, I was like he was making a beat. Because me and my dad, we always was clowning around. Like, he'll make beats and I'll just start rapping. And he'll be like, and when, you know, we was rapping in the car, he was like, Jerron, you just made a whole song and didn't even notice. So that's what we made Get Out the Way. And that we was the first ones in City Hall to ever do a music video in City Hall.
Wow.
And that's history. Like,
that is history.
That's history.
Yeah.
And Meg Cantrell, you know, she called me her nephew. Because like, she's been known since I was young. So when I seen the last show for Sour stuff, she was like, Jerron. You know, we gotta love T.D.
Yeah.
Gotta love him.
That's the city.
It's the city.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what's up.
Yeah.
You got a bright future ahead of you, bro. And I want to be kind of like, you know, guide you. Any kind of help that you need, just know that you do have a family among this community. Your mom is doing a wonderful job with you.
Yeah.
You building your own lane, though.
Yeah.
And how old are you again?
I am 14.
14 years old.
Yes.
Yeah, when I was 14, I was not doing nothing, trying to brand myself. You building your own brand.
My mom was just telling me it's better when you're young.
It is.
It's better when you're young, and when you grow up, everybody know.
Yeah.
See, my mama, she tells me stuff that I need to know. Even though my dad not here, she always give me advices.
Like, that's what's up.
She give me, like, the best advice, and she's been doing that since my dad was alive.
Well, you know something? I mean, look. We always got to tell our mom thanks sometimes.
Yes.
And it's something that as parents, we know y'all don't listen all the time, bro. You at that age.
I mean, sometimes I be wanting to do like,
yeah.
I mean, even though it's not like, you know, like she always going to tell me, she's not going to tell me nothing wrong.
Yeah.
So it's like, sometimes I be letting her know, like, my mom won't get out the house. I'm getting to the age, but she be like, no, because all these children dying.
Yeah.
My mom good. Like, you know, like.
But your mom is your protector right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I got two boys that 23. Mm. And I wish they would get out the house. They can't leave the house now, bro. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Look, this whole journey that you're on, enjoy, Jay. Enjoy the ride. That's the main thing. You know, if it don't feel comfortable, just move to the side. But you still got a lot of growing to do. And looking at you right now, I thought you was older than 14. You're doing good, bro.
I grew up around older men, like adults. I grew up around a lot of adults.
That's
like,
what's up.
Everybody knew. Everywhere my daddy went, I was right there. My dad used to have me in clubs.
What?
Every time he'll have a meeting with people, he'll have me in clubs.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. You learn it.
If I had to use the bathroom, just before we were saying, all right, come on. I was good.
That's what's up.
I grew up around a lot of adults. Like,
so let me ask you this: what's up with the Nikes, bro? Why are you tearing the Nikes up? You got a lot of shoe heads. You know they call them sneaker heads. You're killing them online, bro. You're scratching the Nikes up, and I know mom bought the Nikes for you, and you just kind of like just skirt, skirt, skirt.
Nikes need to have me in a commercial. I ain't say that. Who said that? Not me. I ain't say that.
That's what's up, bro.
But yeah, I love Nikes. My mama, she love Nikes too. Like we it's just like actually, like it's literally like, you know, comfortable clothes.
Do they make you dance better? Cause you keep them on, dude.
I feel like when I have on the Nike shorts, I can stretch out more.
Okay, that's the black shorts.
The cotton in the pants.
It's
so stretchable. So it's like I can really do anything, but. The dunks, man. My black and white dunks will forever be in my heart. I have two pairs of Nike, a black and white Nike dunks.
Okay.
I have the ones that second line in and the ones that I go somewhere. So if you see me with black and white dunks on, just know they're different.
So they're so comfortable.
Yes.
One parade, dude, you did a split. No, not the split. You kick your leg up and it looked like your knee hit your head.
It did. Oh, wow. Yeah.
I can't even try that.
You got to.
Come on, bro. Come on, bro. At this point, you doing stuff that nobody else could do out there, dude.
Chester. Chester.
Who is Chester?
Chester is this man that I really get the hold in the leg from.
Wait, wait. Is he from the Ninth Ward? Is a slim guy?
Yeah, he's slim. He got dreads, I think. I don't know where he's from. They call him 5'2", because I think he's from the Fifth Ward.
Okay.
I don't know, but they call him 5'2".
Okay.
The holding the leg up, I really get that from him. Because, like, it's so inspiring. When he do the guitar, I just be like, man, I want to do that like him. So I did it. You know, we all do it together. All
right. All right. So, the contrast. I see you uptown, downtown, Ninth Ward. The only place I ever saw you at, and I don't see too many people, is the West Bank Second Line. That's cool, because at the same day that they're parading, that's Dumaine Street Gang. So we'd be kind of like occupied downtown. Do you see a contrast, like a difference in an uptown Second Line compared to a downtown Second Line?
I don't want to start nothing, but I'm going to just say it. I feel like downtown's